Good morning. As we come on this God's day, we greet you in the name of Christ. Let us begin our time of worship together with the call to worship. We will give thanks to you, O Lord, and call on your name. We will make known your deeds among the peoples, sing your praises, and tell it all of your wonderful works. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Praise the Lord. Let us worship God. Let us begin with our opening hymn. Christ is made the sure foundation.
Oh, let me, I did not.
what they ask. Scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28, and Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. Our scripture will be read by Elder Melvin Ingram.
Let us begin with the gospel according to Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. Jesus From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good would it be for someone to forfeit their soul? Well, what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? The Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Composed by Paul the Apostle, a letter to the Romans. Verses 9 through 12, love in action. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Last winter, AT&T unveiled an amusing commercial in their Just Okay is Not Okay series. Many of you will remember it. The commercial features a sleazy tax preparer named Phil. Phil is talking with a young woman who has come for help with her taxes. Phil says to the young woman, "Leave it to me. I'll get you your taxes in an okay place." The young woman says, "What?" Then with the back of his hand beside his mouth, he adds, "Just as soon as my audit is over, this gets my undivided attention." The young woman looks around his office at some pictures of Phil in exotic location And she says, somewhat suspiciously, you take a lot of trips to the Caymans, Phil. Phil says, pretty great, right? Then he adds, oh, as far as the authorities know, Phil's legally dead. Fell off a boat. I go by Dennis now. Dennis Celery. Long story. Then he deftly pushes a piece of paper into a paper shredder. Oh, you're not going to want to see this, he explains. The commercial ends with the young woman standing to leave while she says, I don't think this is going to work. I thought of that commercial because I learned recently that faking one's death isn't simply a familiar television plot. There really are private investigators whose whole specialty is searching for people who have faked their death. In fact, the practice of faking your death to collect a life insurance policy or simply to start over has its own name. It's called pseudocide. You're familiar with the word pseudonym, which means a fake name. A fake death is pseudocide. Frank Ahern is author of the book, How to Disappear. He's tracked down numerous people over the years who have faked their own deaths. He says people tend to do a lot of stupid things that get them caught. For example, they visit their mother. Can't do that if you're supposed to be dead. Or they choose a new name that is extremely similar to their old name. Or they Google themselves a lot. A private investigator from New York named Steve Rambam, love that name, Rambam, what a name for a PI. But Stephen Rambam says, people do a remarkably limited amount of planning when it comes to faking their own deaths. Faking your own death is a full-time job. And I can guarantee you that if you slip up with even the slightest sign of life, we'll find you. We may think it's bizarre that anyone would try to fake their own death. But I wonder if Jesus were to come into our church today, he might accuse us of doing that very thing. Remember in Ephesians 2, Paul wrote that we are to be dead to sin and alive to Christ. Think about that for a moment. Dead to sin, alive to Christ. This is to say that Jesus is calling us to begin a new life, not by faking our death or not by pretending to have buried, put away, and destroyed that old sinful self, but by giving ourselves to a new, whole way of living, a life of discipleship. Jesus and his disciples are still at Caesarea Philippi. Their ministry to this point has been a stunning success. Crowds are pressing in on them everywhere they go. People are eagerly reaching out to touch this charismatic young teacher from Nazareth. The disciples themselves are caught up in the excitement of it all. Then remember at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus asked them a serious question. We talked about it last week. He asked them, who do you say I am? It's one of the most dramatic moments in all the scriptures. It's Simon Peter who answers enthusiastically, you are Christ the Son and the living God. Then Jesus changes the subject. He begins to tell them that the crowds will soon turn away. They will turn against him. He will be crucified. On the third day, he will be raised from the dead. The disciples, you know, that's something shocking to hear. They don't know what to make of all this. So Simon Peter takes Jesus aside and in his own usual outspoken way, he says, "Never, Lord. This shall never happen to you." Jesus' response to Simon Peter is as harsh as any words in the New Testament. One translator quotes him like this: "Get behind me, Satan. You are not on the side of God, but of man." Then Jesus speaks some of the best known and most challenging words of his ministry: "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." What does that mean for our lives? I believe Jesus is telling us how to begin a new life, not by faking our death, but by becoming one of his disciples. The keys to that new life are found in these words that we have heard so many times before. Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us as well, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." What is it that Christ is asking us to do? Let's begin here. The first step to a new life, according to our master, is to deny one's self. The word Jesus uses for deny oneself can also mean to forget oneself. That's hard, isn't it? To forget oneself. Have you ever heard anyone described as self-involved? Self-involved people are wrapped up in themselves. That would be the description of those people who exaggerate the wrongs that others have done to them. They may even call the police and falsely claim a person is committing a crime against them in order to get their way. Self-involved people are wrapped up in their own thoughts. They hardly give a thought to what other people are experiencing. Know anyone like that? Self-involved people, they hardly give a thought to what others are experiencing. The truth is that all of us, to one extent or another, can be self-involved. Forgetting one's self is difficult. But what if we could forget ourselves for a while? What if our thoughts weren't focused on ourselves and our need to achieve? Our need to belong, our need to be happy, our need to be important or significant? What if we could change our mind's focus from ourselves and our needs to God and his plan for the world? What if we could surrender everything we have and everything we are to God and God's will for our life? Would that not mean that we were becoming a new person? Cody Garbrandt is a mixed martial arts fighter. Cody says he was raised in a family of fighters. Cody gave an interview recently that was quite fascinating. It was about surrendering. And here is what he said. He said, "Surrender is a foreign word to many fighters. It was a foreign word to me in my life." Cody says that in the early years of his career, he focused all his energy on being the toughest fighter in the ring. Outside the ring, he spent his time partying, including using recreational drugs. But he realized something was missing from his life, and no achievement or drug could fill that hole. One night, Cody got tired of living in constant conflict due to his inner emptiness. He was so desperate, he tried to hang himself. Fortunately, his brother found him and literally saved his life. After that near tragedy, Cody and his brother began to go to church together. And in his time at church, Cody discovered that the true purpose of his life was not found in fighting or partying. Cody discovered that the true purpose of his life was found in surrendering his life to God. He discovered that his achievement in the ring had no real meaning. His partying didn't bring him any lasting joy or pleasure. He had to lay down all the things he thought defined him or gave him worth in order to find his real purpose in a relationship with God. This former MMA fighter has now found a new life in Christ. As he explains it, "I'm thankful that I'm able to surrender to the Lord and I'm not fighting anymore." Denying oneself or forgetting one's broken and misguided self is a difficult thing to do. After all, we like to be in control. But surrendering one's self to God is the first step in an authentic new life. Does God rule your life? Or are you, like Phil, the tax guy, simply faking it? But there's a second step to a new life, and it's even more challenging. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." We've heard that command all of our lives, but what does it mean, take up their cross? One thing it will mean for many of us is that we will have to give up our addiction to a life of comfort. Don't get scared. Don't get scared. I'm not talking about moving the whole family into a one-bedroom residence. But there is nothing comfortable about the cross. Thank heavens we don't have to take this command of our Lord literally, because we're told that the average cross in ancient times may have weighed in the neighborhood of 300 pounds. That's a load. The cross beam, the part that condemned men were required to carry, weighed about 100 pounds. That's quite a load. There's no way I could carry that. So, what does it mean to take up Christ's cross? I suspect it has something to do with our addiction to comfort. Let me explain what I mean. Have you noticed some people never want to leave their comfort zone? They never want to do anything that requires sacrifice. They never want to do anything that will cause them the least bit of stress. Forget about asking them to lead a group of children and learning about Christ. Oh, that's too much stress. Forget about asking them to do something simple like inviting a neighbor to church. "Oh, Pastor, I couldn't do that. They might be offended." Yes. And on the other hand, they may have an entire life completely turned around because of that invitation that you sent. You see, you simply can't serve Christ and always remain in your comfort zone. There are people around you who are facing some tremendous challenges. Loneliness, addiction, depression, confusion, hopelessness. Do we care? Paul in Romans 12 gives us a recipe. He says, "Let love be genuine. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Serve the Lord. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep, weep. Live in harmony with one another." He's talking about the opposite of apathy and being neutral. He's talking about the opposite of living in your comfort zone. If you are actually dead to that broken life and not faking that death, then those are the qualities of the new life you live. There's nothing comfortable about the cross that we are called to carry. It calls us to come out of our comfort zone. Some cynic has said, "When the going gets tough, everyone leaves. That happened to Jesus. As the way got harder and the requirements became clear, the numbers of those who followed dwindled until finally he died alone on Calvary. Yes, if he had been unwilling to lay down his life, the world would never have known the love of the Father. And on the other hand, if those early disciples had not picked up Jesus' cross and followed after him, we would not know about that love. Over the ages since those early disciples gave their lives to broadcast the news of God's love, a host of other people have given up everything to ensure that the gospel message has endured. But here is the truth of the situation. If you and I don't pick up the cross in our time, if we don't make those hard choices and assume those difficult responsibilities that are required to ensure that the Church of Jesus Christ accomplishes the mission that Christ has given us, our children's children will not know the old, old story of Jesus and his love. It's sad but true. Many of us don't want to do anything that requires us to sacrifice some of our time and some of our resources. We don't want to give that up. We sing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Yes, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me." But some of us are just faking it. We haven't stepped up and picked up that cross. You see, the cross is the dramatic symbol of our faith, our hope, our love, and forgiveness. The cross is the powerful reminder of God's sacrificial and redemptive love for us. And the cross is the constant signal to us of how God wants us to live and love today as servants, willing to step up, step out of our comfort zone, step up to the needs, step up to love. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross." Then he adds three words. "And follow me." What does it mean to follow Jesus? Following Jesus means living a life of loving service, just as he did. We are not called to be prima donnas. We are called to be servants. We are called to take up the mission of Christ and to emulate the servant spirit of our Lord. And sometimes it's a challenge. So often we don't do that which we should and won't do the things that we could. So we struggle with that inner being, that old self that we pretend is no more. But then we also struggle with an outer being. Let me explain. Bob Hodges, a Presbyterian minister in Rogersville, Tennessee, tells about duck hunting with a friend of his on Cherokee Lake in East Tennessee. His friend Riley, who had just recently given his life to Christ, began to ask some serious questions about his Christian pilgrimage. It seems Riley's old friends were making it very difficult for him to remain consistent in his obedience and commitment to Christ. They seemed to delight in trying to get him to fall back into his old patterns of life. They ridiculed him for spending so much time with the preacher. Riley asked, "Why is it that I'm having more troubles since I became a Christian than I ever did when I was lost? Everything seems to go wrong. I'm having such a struggle." Reverend Hodges spoke up. "I'll tell you why, Riley," he said. and he gave this example. It's not an example I particularly like, but it shows the point. Reverend Hodges says, a couple of ducks fly over and you shoot. You kill one and injure the other. They both fall into the lake. What do? You have to get out of the boat and go pick up the ducks. But which one do you go after first? Well, Riley drawled, that's easy. I go after the injured one first. The dead one ain't going nowhere. Hodges said, and that's the way it is with the devil. Satan goes after injured Christians. Satan's not going to bother the man or the woman who is wallowing, buried, and dead to life, to a life of meaning because of their sin. Satan's already got them. He's not bothered with them. But the minute you give your life to Christ, you'd better get ready, because the devil is going to come after you. Satan is going to chase you and make it hard on you. I guess that's what my mother used to mean when she would say the devil is always busy. This year feels overwhelming for many of us. Feels like the devil is really busy. Following Jesus can remain an elusive hope when we feel utterly paralyzed by all that swirls around us and within us. Weeping may come easily. Rejoicing may reluctantly appear from time to time. Worry and anxiety looms all around us. But just like Jesus instructed his disciples that he would indeed suffer and be killed, but on the third day be raised, so he reminds us that because of that third day, he will live again for us. Can we cling to that third day truth as we attempt to make it through the chaos that we are living through now? Can we remember that God is with us no matter what? You see, when you take up Jesus' cross, you are taking up his heart. His heart, his priorities, his values, his love now lives in you. And your journey through life, despite its difficulties, becomes a journey to honor his sacrifice and protect his heart. You are taking up the very purpose and driving ambition of Jesus' life, to share God's love with the world. That's your cross. And Jesus challenges us in a simple way, that whatever we have to sacrifice, whatever we have to lay down in order to pick up his cross, then we need to do it. Then, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will truly discover a new life. Why fake it any longer? Why not let go of what we should surrender and set our eyes toward the prize of God's presence and the glorious kingdom that awaits us? Let the people of God say, amen. We take this opportunity now to share our joys and concerns. I will share some things that have happened through the week. We lift up the name of Valerie Chin, the mother of Patty Chin, and aunt of Spring Strickland, who is quite ill. She lives in Stony Point, North Carolina. We lift up Gloria Jenkins, and she sends a message of joy. She is at home, she's feeling better, and she thanks each of you for your cards, your prayers, your calls, and concerns. They made and continue to make a difference in her recovery. We lift up Reggie, Ezine, and Trenton Parker, as they celebrated a very special day this week, the day of marriage. And I send out on behalf of the church a thank you and a joy for Judith, Matthew, and Ed Miller. I thank them for their ministry, which falls into a day for random acts of kindness. Are there others who wish to share joys or concerns?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Elder Micheline Moody Stevens, bringing joys from the United Presbyterian Church. First, we'd like to say happy belated birthday to Mr. Jack Duncan, who celebrated his birthday this past Friday, August 28th. Happy, happy birthday to him. And we would also like to congratulate and send blessings to Deacon Clara Colclaw Cunningham and her husband Clarence as they celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary on August 23rd.
Amen.
Amen. And our concerns is that we would like to continue to pray for the Neal family, pray for our country, those suffering from depression, and we pray for our students, parents, and educators as they approach another new and different school year during these very challenging times.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Most certainly. Do we remember them? We also remember Cheryl, Elder Cheryl Morgan Duncan, and I take it that she's still away with her family in Jamaica.
Yes, we continue to pray for her. We don't have any updates at this time, but she still is in Jamaica as her dad is very ill.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Are there reports or joys or concerns from the Presbyterian Church of TNET?
Yes. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
This is Elizabeth Adapo. Elder Dr. Cynthia Buachi is asking for prayers for her cousin, Mercy Alexis, who's in Canada, who had a stroke this week, and she's on a ventilator. Please pray for healing for her and her entire family.
Mercy Alexis.
Thank you. Elder Fredericks, I think I saw you come on.
Good morning, church. Good morning, pastor. Please, no concerns from care group number 4, but please put in prayer Thomas Lizette, my brother-in-law. His mother is doing very bad, poorly, multiple issues, non-COVID related, and she's in need of prayer, and the whole family trying to determine whether to put her in hospice, etc. So please keep them in prayer. Thomas Lizette, thank you.
All right, thank you. And we certainly will continue to lift him up in prayer. Are there other joys or concerns?
Yes, good morning. This is Edward Chang Soon from the TNET Presbyterian Church. Just wanted to have prayers for my brother-in-law in Canada, who recently underwent surgery for a medical procedure, and he's on the mend currently.
For brother of Elder Edward Chang Soon. Other joys?
Joys for Ken Thompson. He was 102.
102. I missed a year. I had him at 101.
No, 102.
This in August, correct?
Yeah, 102.
Okay. Yep. Ken Thompson, 102 years old. Sister Miller, did I see you?
Actually, I'm using her log on. This is Ed Miller. And thank you for that earlier acknowledgement, Pastor. But this is actually for prayers from my wife's family. I mentioned her uncle several weeks ago, her uncle Blaggy in London. He was just recently diagnosed with lung cancer, unfortunately. and also her aunt Maggie in Canada, who was also recently diagnosed with colon cancer. So it's been quite a challenging last few days of diagnoses.
Yes, certainly we lift them up. Our condolences to you, to Judith and the entire family as they grieve the loss of her uncle and her aunt. Other joys or concerns? Are there joys or concerns from anyone at Emmanuel Presbyterian Church? If not, we will prepare for our time of prayer. Our intercessory prayer this morning will be given or led by Ms. Mia P. Meadows, a ministerial intern at New Hope Baptist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. Not only is Mia starting her journey to ordination as a minister of the gospel, but she just so happens to be my great niece. So I'm grateful that she is joining us this morning from North Little Rock, Arkansas.
Morning, everyone. Let's go to the throne with prayer.
A little bit louder, Mia, please.
Yes, I'm going to turn it up. Thank you. Okay. Most gracious and heavenly Father, we just come before you. First, just giving you honor and praise and thanksgiving, O God, for you are great and greatly to be praised. We thank you for this time of hearing your word and coming together. Your word says where two or three are gathered together in your name, you would be in the midst, and we know you are in the midst with us today. Lord, we thank you for all that you're going to do, Heavenly Father. We thank you for all that you've already done. We thank you for your continual presence with each and every one of us. We thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, O God. Lord, you heard every prayer today and every concern from your children. Lord, I may not be able to recall everyone by name, but you do, oh God. Lord, I ask right now that you heal every person who was called out today who is dealing with sickness and illness, oh God. Lord, you said by your stripes we are healed. Lord, we know you are the ultimate doctor. And so we ask you go into those sick rooms and you touch and heal. You guide every doctor that's working with every one of your patients. Let them feel your presence and give them peace in the midst of their health storms, oh God. God, we ask that you continue to provide for every person on this call, their families, Heavenly Father, for every church. Continue to help us to lean upon you in our times of trouble. Lord, until we are able to come together in person, oh God, we ask that you touch every person who's dealing with a mental illness, a loneliness, Heavenly Father. Lord, we ask that you give them sweet rest today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we're grateful because we know you hear the prayers of your children. God, we will continue to rely and believe on you alone. Help us to follow the footsteps of Christ. Help us deny ourselves, O Heavenly Father. Help us to live according to your word and in your obedience, that you may receive all the glory and the honor. Let our lives shine, that people will see the Christ in us, and that you be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. And together we offer the words which Jesus has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. and amen, and amen. Thank you, Minister Meadows. Let us join in reiterating our theme of following in the footsteps of Jesus. Our closing hymn is, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
The world behind me, the cross before me. Remember to contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Most of all, hold fast to what is good. And may the God of peace grant you every gift you need to carry the cross and follow our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We thank Sister Audrey England for serving as our co-host this morning. Behind each worship service, there is a co-host who helps to kind of do the technical stuff that I can't do while I'm doing the sermon, even though people will call me during the sermon and ask me to do technical things. But we ask that our co-host would pause our Zoom recording at this point, and each of you may unmute yourselves, and we can share in a time of fellowship.
Pastor Tate.
Yes, ma'am.
I forgot to tell you, Edna's home.
Yes, she is. Yes, for all those who have been, you only see the half of me, but for all those who have been concerned about Edna Anderson, she is at home, and she came home yesterday, and so she's getting settled in at home again.
Yep.
Thank you, Pastor Tate. This is Betty Easley. Thank you for letting us know. Thank you for a wonderful service this morning.
Thank you. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Heather.
Nice to see you.
Good to see you.
Hi, Miriam.
Hi, Minnie.
Hi, everybody.
Good morning, Madam Moderator Marion. You're looking beautiful this morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right.
This is my friend Matthew.
Okay, and I'm trying to ask my...
Hi, this is Vera Jones.
Okay, hey, Miss Vera.
How are you?
Carolyn. Okay, okay. And I asked my great niece to stay on, Sister Mia. I am so proud of her, just to let
you know. Yeah, she did a very good job.
In case you didn't know, I am very proud of her.
Yes, I know you are.
She starts her journey to ministry. Mia, thank you for sharing in worship this morning.
Thank you all for having me. I truly enjoyed it.
Amen.
Yeah, very nice.
Mm-hmm. You did a wonderful job, Mia.
Outstanding job.
Absolutely gorgeous.
And you see some of the faces of the Presbyterian Church of Teaneck. Also from United, we see some of our friends from United on the screen. I'm going to go to page 2 and see who else I see. I see a lot of folks who are in their pajamas. Praise the Lord. 2 pages of folks in their pajamas. Indeed.
Oh.
But we also have some folks from Indianapolis who are with us this morning, so we are glad that you are able to join us. But yeah, we got, who is this? Lorraine Peter and her cat. Praise the Lord.
Okay. Also, Sister Jenkins is on today.
All right. Yes. I didn't know whether you could get on... Jennifer sent me a text at the a few minutes ago, and I didn't see it until I had started the service.
Yeah, she's on.
Okay,
you can see her. Hi.
I see her. I see her right next to you.
Ms. Jenkins.
Ms. Jenkins, we're so glad that you are feeling better and are at home. So we keep you lifted in prayer. And we lift up Loretta Swartz, and she's multitasking and talking on the telephone while she's on the Zoom at the same time.
That's nice.
She is busy talking. Okay.
So I think she's listening to the service through the phone.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, and are you back in, are you all back in New Jersey? You're still out in, still away.
Yep.
So traveling mercies to you as you prepare to come home. And of course, we got work for you when you get back.
Okay.
Elder Collier. we have work. So we pray for each of you this morning, and we hope that you enjoy this beautiful God's day and make the best of it.
Yes.
Hello, everyone. This is Mel, Pastor Tate. Would you please hang on? I think Garth and I want to test some live stream infrastructure with you.
Yes, sir. So you want me to work. Okay, can I take off my robe first and then get to work?